Hey, boys and girls, this is Fish and Frank, and believe it or not, time goes by. You know, this is 250 broadcast for Radio Fishing. Yes, you poor fools have suffered through 249 of these before this one.
Yep.
So this is 250, and Fish and Frank in the chair, Captain Robert on the phone over at his house, Captain Carl in the chair across from me. Hey, Robert, what's up?
Hey, Frank, how are you?
All right. Robert is home doing landscaping projects.
Yes, and it's so much fun.
Is it the stress relief you thought it was going to be?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. Mentally challenging.
Yeah, it's not like hooking a popping cork up, huh?
No.
No?
No, that's much easier.
So.
That is much easier.
Yeah, I just thought, you know, you might be interested in being a part of our 250th broadcast. So I figured we'd bother you at the house and see what was going on. So, Captain Carl, you been on the water?
Yes, sir. Yesterday, we did pretty good yesterday. We started out first thing in the morning for trout because it was very cold in the morning, so I had to let everything else warm up. We started off for trout throwing popping bobbers with Rockport rattlers on the bottom of them. We had a shrimp on. We started in about 4 to 5 feet of water, and we ended up drifting over to like 6, almost 7 feet of water, and that's where we started getting most of our trout. Soon as the day warmed up, we looked for places that were sheltered out of the wind on the backside of islands. It seemed like all the fish were holding up in the areas that the wind wasn't really pounding them as bad. As soon as we got up in those areas, I started cutting up pinfish, cutting up ladyfish, cutting up mullet, and we just started soaking the water with a bunch of cut bait because everything is slow right now, so they don't want to work hard or have to work at all to get their food.
So it's not that the fishing's slow, it's that if you're going to catch fish, you got to have your bait sitting still or moving very, very slowly. But the fish are there to catch.
There's a lot of really good fish out there. There's a lot of oversized redfish right now that are running all over the place on the east wall. You just have to work. If you're going to throw a shrimp out there and barely drag it across the bottom. Pop it very, very slowly if you're going to pop it, but work everything slow.
So, Robert, what's your thoughts?
What was your water temperature?
I didn't look at it yesterday or today. I didn't pay attention to that.
Well, okay. I definitely think it's accurate working it slow because of the water temperature. I'm sure it's got to be in the high 50s or low 60s. The previous to this cold front, it was sitting right at around 62, 61 in some areas.
That's what I got reports of today, about 60 degrees from 58 to about 62, 63, depending upon where you were at in the harbor and what time of day it was, you know, with the sun on there. Mostly water won't react that fast, but that shallow water and the salt content seems to make it react faster.
I'm finding all my redfish in extremely shallow water right now. Really, really shallow water.
Are they in relation to deeper water?
About 150 yards away.
Oh geez, quite a ways.
Yeah, they're all sitting in very, very shallow water.
Now, was that afternoon or morning?
Actually, it was all day today and all day yesterday. They were in all the redfish that I was fishing on. They were extremely shallow water.
So, what time in the morning did you start?
We started at 8 o'clock. We went out, like I said, we got trout just to let everything warm up a little bit. But as soon as 10 o'clock came around, where it started warming up a little bit, we switched to the mangroves. Started pitching out a lot of cut bait, cut pinfish, cutting the heads off the pinfish, throwing them out there, putting a J hook in them, and trying to weed it like it's weedless, so you're not pulling in all the grass and everything at the same time.
Now Kale said he had a great day, and Robert, you're going to be shocked, but I think Kale actually came up with a good theory.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, he was wondering if, you know how when you have a mulch pile or a big pile of leaves or anything and you put your hand up into it while it's all rotting, it gets very hot. And
right.
What if the decaying of the leaves and the plant matter and the algae and everything, with all that catalyst going on inside of it, what if that's heating up that leaves right there and creating a little bit of warm water right around that decaying vegetable matter?
I think it's a real good theory, because we talked about that in the summertime with it being a lot warmer in those, you know, in those areas where you got a lot of decaying leaves, you know, both for the fact of that it depletes the oxygen in those areas and creates a lot of extra food for all the grubs and critters that are there.
Yeah, but, I mean, I never really gave it any thought that the decaying process, and I know from a kid going, if you put bale hay too quickly before it dries, it can actually start fires inside the bale of hay.
Absolutely.
So,
it's a killer theory.
You know, Carl, can you believe this? Kale came up with this?
It's a good theory.
I mean, I'm not knocking on kale. Kale is obviously bright. No, I'm knocking on kale. He actually had a really good theory. Yes, he had a good theory. I'm sitting here going, oh my God, this is Kale's theory.
It is a good theory, because there's an area that I fish down in Matlachet, and I fish that more in the summertime, but it has a lot of that decaying leaves right on the surface. And like whenever I wade through there, I can feel it on my legs. I mean, of course, it's going to be a lot softer, muddy bottom, because all that layer is just decaying stuff. But you could actually feel it on your legs. Like, if you did feel the water, it's a whole lot warmer than the areas that don't have the decaying stuff in it.
All right. Well, I think Kale's on to something. Adding a new level to our, you know, it's the one thing we always try and do here at Fish and Franks. We talk about, why do we think the fish are there? What do you think is going on with the fish? And it's these little tiny theories, these little ism theories that make all the difference in the world. When you're trying to figure out what happened to a fish, you know, sometimes it's important to think 3 years ago. Sometimes it's important to think of the sun or the color of what you're fishing. But now that we can actually add in the decay factor.
It is warmer.
Thinking outside the box is a real key.
Well, it's making all the corners of the box fit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's to me where this all falls into play, is we're now, we've got an octagon hole and we're getting closer to an octagon peg. We don't have a hexagon peg trying to fit in an octagon hole, you know, and the closer we get to the correct information, the better we're going to get at this fishing.
Yep. I mean, if you have, you know, something pops in your head throughout the day, try it. You're never going to know if it doesn't work, you know, if you don't try it.
Yeah, if you don't try it. So, anyway, that was the new theory. I was talking to Kale earlier on one of these radio broadcasts, and luckily I didn't throw my phone across the room. I had about 4 seconds. If it wouldn't have reconnected to this machine again, it was going across the room. Because the only way I'm cheap, and the only way I can afford to buy another one is if this one's wrecked.
Nice.
And it's made it 8 trips across the room so far. It doesn't want to die.
We got a shrimp tank back there.
Yeah, I haven't got quite that. I'm still giving it its shot to live. You know, I skidded it off the door a couple times the last time back here. You know, but
yeah, that was pretty interesting.
Yeah, Robert's sitting here like, I can't take this anymore. Bing! Across the room it goes. So, anyway, no, I'm not impatient. But, anyway, I'm glad it worked. So, what's it like outside right now? I know you're sitting out in the backyard. You've been digging in the dirt. You're shoveling out gravel. You're putting down pavers. What's it like?
Beautiful right now. Absolutely. Not a breath of air. And I think it's going to be a really nice sunset.
The wind laid down pretty good this afternoon.
Yeah.
It's going to start dropping down cool-wise here in a little bit once that sun goes below the tree line. It's just barely kissing it now.
Yeah, it's saying it's about 60 degrees out and 5 miles an hour out of the northeast. So
there you go.
You know, that's not bad with the bright sunshine and everything we've got, you know, because it's always about 10 degrees warmer in the sun. So you're really looking at about 70 degrees with a light breeze, and makes it nice and chilly and comfortable.
Yeah, you don't have to wear all those layers.
Eat your freaking heart out, Boston. Sorry, buddy. 8-foot snowdrifts, freezing cold, roofs caving in. I love Southwest Florida.
Not for me.
Okay, so we've established the weather sucks up there. And it's beautiful here. It's 70 degrees in the sunshine, 60 degrees out of the sun, and it's just absolutely gorgeous.
Very lucky.
Well, that was interesting. You on?
What?
I don't know. There's some big noise just hit. Thought it was you. I thought you stepped on a rake or something. Thought they were catching that rake right up between the,
Dong.
Yeah. Oh, no. There would have been a lot better noise than that.
All right. So, anyway, why don't you go ahead and talk to Carl about his the Charters, what's going on out there? Yeah, okay, guys. I'll take over again.
Right?
I didn't know I was throwing you guys under the bus. I thought it was just, okay, guys, go ahead, I was going to give it a minute, sip some coffee, imbibe in a little nicotine, relax a little bit here, but...
Well, I think we need to come up with a coffee table book, actually, with all the Frankisms, between all the different thoughts actually together. I mean, you're obviously the master at coming up with a lot of really different ideas that seem to work out very, very well.
Yeah, but that would require I got my thoughts together enough to put them in a book. What are the odds? You're talking a 10-year adventure here, buddy. I'd be dead before that happened. All right. Anyway, getting back to the fishing aspect of this. So, Carl, you left about 8 o'clock this morning.
Mm-hmm.
What'd you head? You headed south?
We headed down towards Pirate Harbor, just north of Pirate Harbor.
Drifting the flats over there?
Yeah, I was just behind the first set of islands. There's a good oyster bed there. There's a good little section of flats there right behind the first set of islands. And I knew that's going to warm up the fastest on that side today. So I was targeting that area. We got two pompano out of there this morning. And we got two or three redfish.
How about the trout?
We didn't target trout at all today.
Okay.
We were actually just going for redfish today.
But you ended up with two pompano. Now, how did they hit? What, on the bottom?
Yeah, we were throwing a pink Rockport rattler with a shrimp on the back of it. We were bouncing it through these little pothole section that I was fishing. And, that area does hold some pompano.
Oh, definitely. I'm just surprised while fishing for redfish you were able to pick the pompano up. Because the redfish, historically, I know when you're doing redfish, you're letting it hit the bottom, coming up a little bit, hitting the bottom. And you hooked them on the sand holes, huh?
Yep, right in the sand holes, going in and out of the grass. They were just sitting right in the sand holes, and we picked them up with pink Rockport rattler with a shrimp on them, just bouncing them up and down.
Charles and Vicky just love you.
Oh, I love them, too.
On the phone with them just the other day, and I said, I have to have gold. I'll take black with gold glitter. I'll take brown with gold glitter, but I want something with gold glitter. And he said, well, we don't have that. I said, you can put... black with red glitter, you can damn sure put black with gold glitter.
Yep.
Don't care. I want something with gold on it. So, anyway, they're enormous amount of fun. They're going to be here. You're taking them fishing the day after the tent sale.
Yes, sir.
So, they're going to get a chance to see their Rockport Rattler heads in. And I bought the new stand-up heads from Rockport Rattler.
Really?
Yeah, we got I got a whole line of those coming in. Robert, I'm sorry I bought more stuff. But we bought the whole line of those stand-up heads with the rattles in them, so you'll be able to put your shrimp on those. They don't have them in pink, so I don't know how they're going to go.
Yeah.
So we're going to... They do have them in brown and black. I like the brown color a lot. I think there was a green and something else. I don't remember.
The black color is pretty good.
So, but I think you're going to like the brown.
Yeah.
The browns, that one looked pretty good.
It's and also different.
They got black with red glitter and black with a couple other glitters on it, so... Anyway, I got all those. I bought the whole line of those because, these are working so well that, and we don't have a good stand-up head. So I'm hoping this is going to be a good stand-up head. So we won't know until
they're
we see
them. They're going to have the same
hook in them? No, it's more of that bass hook. It's a good hook. It's the black chrome. It's not a bronze hook, but it looks like it's going to be okay. I'm not too worried about the hook. The only thing I'm worried about is it actually... standing.
Right.
We'll see how that works.
Yeah. It's hard.
We've seen that a lot with different jig heads that claim to be stand-ups and don't stand up very well.
Yeah, this could be a several hundred dollar screw-up or a real good way to make more money. We're not going to know until we actually get them in our hands. And we will tell you. I'd rather tell the truth and lose a few hundred dollars and lie to you, and then you figure out I'm lying. It's easy. Oh, it doesn't work.
Well, you know, I'll try as soon as we get them.
So, anyway, but when Charles and Vicky are here, we really encourage you guys. They're going to be a casting tank out there, and we're going to have the baits and everything so you can watch them work their lures right here at Fish and Frank's. And I really cannot tell you how nice they are. Yeah, I mean,
they're very nice.
So, anyway, going back to the fishing, pink Rockport Rattler jighead with a shrimp bouncing across potholes looking for redfish. Yep. You caught some pompano. How did they work on the redfish, or did you have to switch?
Actually, we didn't get no redfish on shrimp today at all. We got all our redfish on cut pinfish or cut ladyfish.
That's exactly what I've heard from a couple other guys. Now, Kale's the exception to the rule, as always. This is Captain Kale, you know, he's mm-hmm. going to go put things backwards. He got all his own shrimp.
Different areas, you know, you fish with.
He was in a completely different sector of the harbor, but it's just weird because you and two or three of the other captains I've talked to today, not all of them could I get on the air, all were talking pinfish, and mostly cut-up pinfish. Yep. Very little live pinfish. It was not the way they were going.
I mean, sometimes what I would do with those pinfish is I'll cut the tail off the pinfish so that they're still alive and just a little bit of that scent's coming out. And what I'll do is I'll put them on a Rockport Rattler or another jig head, and I'll cast them into the sand holes. So
you actually have other jig heads on your boat?
No.
Yeah, I was going to say, well, you know, like you're going to put them on a Rockport like Rattler. That's what you're going to do. Yeah. You don't even own another jig head, no. So I'm sorry, Carl. It was a nice thought, but we know you're lying.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, sometimes I will use like a regular J-hook and put a split shot on it if I'm not using a jig head, but... The reason why I cut that tail off, because they're such strong swimmers. And when you weigh them down to the bottom a little bit, they're going to be trying to get up nonstop. They're going to be trying to get away from what's pulling them.
Yep.
So it makes a lot of commotion in the water and a lot of activity going on, especially with a rattle.
Yeah. Everything you think about a piranha is really a pinfish.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, people think that, you know, the piranha and swirling and attacking and everything. They're a bunch of wusses compared to a school of pinfish. Yeah. There's no doubt. If they had teeth, I don't think I'd get in the water.
No.
Yeah. They can nibble.
I don't think anybody would.
Yeah. I mean, they're the literally. Thank God, there's no teeth on a pinfish because they would be scary.
Blowfish are the next ones.
Yeah, but blowfish are fun. You can pick them up, pop them around. They blow up. They go down. So they bite a little bit. You just keep your fingers out of their mouth. Yeah. It's not hard. They're too cool. I can't say anything bad about a puffer. A blowfish is too cool. I mean, nature's balloon. You know?
Yeah, that's true.
Look at this. Just don't put your finger in their mouth and you're fine. Put your finger in your mouth, you're going to have a whole different definition of blowfish.
They got some chompers on them.
Yeah. So, in the same area you caught the pompano, did you catch redfish there?
We got two smaller ones. We got two keeper redfish from there today. We actually came up a lot more farther north towards Alligator Creek, and we got a lot of redfish up towards that way. Same thing, all cut pinfish and cut ladyfish. We tried shrimp. They just wouldn't eat a shrimp today.
No, I mean, that's just the way it goes. That's why we have more than one bait.
Oh, yeah, you have to.
You know, and I wish we had better supplies, but I think people don't realize what kind of person would go out and catch pinfish for a living. Now, this is not going to be your reliable business executive out there catching pinfish for a living. You know what I mean? This is not...
You don't have a great retirement plan catching that?
Yeah. This is... I don't think they get into... The 401 is the number of times they've dropped their beer. But... You know, when you're dealing with somebody who catches pinfish, that's why they're not commercially available very much. I mean, this is not going to attract our best and brightest.
Yeah, that's true.
So, anyway, that's why if you're wondering why they're not like, I mean, let's face it, I can't be that bright. I own a bait shop. But when you're out there, are you keeping some of them alive and just pinching the tail and putting them on the rock port to get that flutter plus that? Has it been a little better that way, or think a little better just straight out dead pieces?
Early in the morning, I find that it's working better with the straight dead on a regular J hook with a split shot on it or a Rockport rattler just sitting there. As the day warms up, I'll go to just cutting, trimming their tail so they're still alive. And I throw them on that Rockport so that they're trying to swim and they're just making all that rattling going on nonstop.
Right, because as they're fighting to swim and they can't swim because you've clipped the tail off, it makes the rattle in the jig go off. So you get the sound, the sand being puffed up, and the rattle in the jig. What was that, Robert?
Where are you hooking them at?
I'm hooking them in the back, on the top of the back by the dorsal fin. So that they're trying to go away from me the whole time.
Well, they're trying to go away from you, but it also kind of pulls them over on their side, so they flutter more, like Frank was saying, with the sand and the scales also.
Yep, they're kicking up a lot of that sand at the same time.
Yeah, we used to, that was called the redfish sundae. You take the bait fish, put it right through the back on a jig head, and the fish trying to swim would actually, they would hit the sand and puff little bits of sand and make a lot of commotion while being stuck in one spot. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's got a lot of different ways of attracting it, but that particular rig is called the Redfish Sundae. That was, wasn't it Robert Moore?
Yeah,
that was nicknamed the Redfish Sundae.
That's pretty cool.
So, yeah, Robert, how does it feel to be old and remember old stuff?
It's great. It's just great. Well, it's just like you were saying about the pinfish. What, in 16 years we've seen, what, probably 30 different pinfish guys come through that were going to make a substantial living at it?
Oh, yeah. They all come through with the 20-year-old pickup truck with a barrel in the back. And
time. I've been on three times, caught him every time. It works good until you don't.
Yeah.
You know. So anyway. Oh gosh. What a day. Let me see.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Been a good day?
Yeah, no, it's a good day in here. The store is really busy. I mean, we were really busy. This is the first time we've been slow enough to actually go ahead and do one of these.
Beautiful day in what, really 10 days or so?
Yeah, somebody messed with my master mix number, so the first part of the show is going to be a little quiet, but it'll pick up, get real loud for you folks now.
Great. It'd be like 1985 in Port Charlotte with the commercials where they were like 200 times louder than the TV program.
It's still that way. Not as bad, but it's still that way.
Not as bad. Definitely not as bad.
Yeah, I remember when you'd be watching TV and you got the volume all the way up because you can't hear what they're saying. A commercial comes on and you look like you're in that stereo commercial with your hair blowing back.
Oh yeah, all commercials are always louder.
Yeah. So anyway, getting back into here. So what made you decide north? When you're down there fishing. I'm not sure if I would have picked north or south. What made you decide to, or west or whatever?
As I've been out there lately, I've been noticing that a lot of the fish are moving up in the harbor. They're all moving north, up towards, like, you know, 41 Bridge, Myakka Cutoff, Alligator Creek. A lot of the fish that I've been fishing on, that just, I'm starting to see where their pattern's going, and they're all moving up in the harbor. Don't get me wrong, there are still some good fish down in Turtle Bay, Bull Bay, Whiting Creek right now. But all the fish in, like, the West Wall, East Wall, they're all moving up in the harbor.
Coming up more towards Port Charlotte, Punta Gorda.
Yes. I'm not sure why they are, but, I mean, they are the ones that I've been noticing. They're all moving up.
But that's good. That's basically what we wait for. Yes. I don't like spending that gas money. Everybody knows I'm cheap, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I got no problem buying a lot of tackle, but boy, when it comes to spending other money, you know, I'm not very good with that.
Because, I mean, a couple of weeks ago, I was down. I was doing a lot of really hard fishing right there just south of Pirate Harbor, like Hobbs and all that. And now I'm actually north of Pirate Harbor now. I'm all the way up by Alligator Creek.
Yeah. I mean, but this is the time of year I love because I don't have to go that far. I don't like traveling to fish. I like to go fish. I'm not that guy who lives on the west side of the lake, so I got to fish the east side of the lake. You know what I mean? If I can swing around the corner and catch fish, all me.
Yep. I mean, they are all big. There's a lot of oversized redfish on that east wall right now. I mean, all the way up by Alligator Creek, there's a lot of oversized reds.
And wow.
There's quite a few of them.
And it's weird. Those fish must live there because all the adults are gone.
Yep.
They're all out swimming the Gulf. They're probably either in Louisiana, maybe the Carolinas, but they're not here.
I think it's those flat tails, those ones that Moat Marine was doing years ago.
Yeah, the ones they released from the hatchery.
They don't know what migrating is and stuff like that because they were born in captivity. So they released them all here, and I think those are all the ones that grew up, and they don't really know, you know, to migrate with all the rest of them. So I think they really stay here all year round.
Yeah, I don't. I think your parents have to show you what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And when they come, the other ones come in that are not genetically defined to that fish, they don't know to leave with them.
Yep.
To them, it's just a weird school of fish.
It's just like if you watch dolphins. The dolphins train their little babies. They show them exactly what to do. It's the same with, you know, snook or redfish or anything.
And that's why every fall when those big redfish come in, they collect up all the larger redfish that are in the harbor and take them with them into the Gulf to go, you know, be a pelagic fish and run the deep waters of the Gulf and the Atlantic. But these fish, like you say, another great... Hey, Robert?
Yes, sir?
Two today. Did you just hear that? Kale and the decaying stuff. Carl with the genetic differences.
Yeah, I can believe that.
That's two in one day.
It's weird to have two in one day.
And we got it. And we got it from Carl and Kale. It is going to be so cold here this week, as hell is frosting over. That, yeah, with the ice coming up from below us, this is going to be the first time we're going to have, you know, we're going to have 3 feet of snow in Port Charlotte.
Oh, don't say that.
I'm dying here. I don't know what's going on, but this is not. There is something in the air. I don't know. Is there a mangrove pollen bloom out there that you guys are inhaling?
There might be. I don't know.
Oh, my God.
I mean, there has been also a lot of fish in your canals, too. It's been colder lately, and three things that we look for in the wintertime is dark grass, concrete, or muddy bottoms. Because they all hold and create heat. So right now there are a lot of fish in your canal systems. I mean, I'm getting quite a few redfish in PGI canals. There's a lot of jacks. There's a lot of snook in there. There's some good sheephead. There's black drum. So right now with this cold, I mean, the fish will move to a little bit deeper water sometimes. So don't be afraid to hit your canal systems in PGI.
Do you notice how he got out of it so quickly?
Yeah.
I mean, he actually came up with fishing stuff to talk about.
Yep. Good segue.
I love it. Okay. All right. Okay. Good talk, Carl. Yep. Brown water, solar collectors, which are the canals. And this is the time of year when they do come up in here.
Mm-hmm.
You seen anything out behind the house, Robert?
No, I saw a couple little pops this morning that were little ladyfish, I think, and then there's been some mullet moving around, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
And since I've been out here this afternoon, I haven't seen any mullet or anything else.
Yeah, it's surprising with the warmth of the water, right at the surface temp, that first inch or so of water is going to, you know, cook up a little bit. You think they'd be rising up a little bit more, but... I got to tell you, I'm not Carl or Kale. I don't know how to figure this stuff out. You know what I mean?
I don't know.
The genetic differences.
I wish they still stocked our harbor.
Yeah, well, it's largely a matter of money because the property along the shorelines where you need to be is so expensive. And if somebody has property that close to the water, they're looking to build condos on it. And condos is the big money. That's why you're not seeing restaurants going anymore. Years ago, if they would have... You cannot graduate 30,000 attorneys a year from colleges and expect to have a good life. They too many attorneys with nothing to do. They get all the time in the world to sit and break a lease or an agreement. They're already trying to break the buffer zone here on the harbor, which hopefully they won't do for a while. But eventually it will come. And but basically it boils down to the property values are so high next to the water, they cannot afford to run redfish hatcheries there. It is very expensive for the property, the taxes, the insurance. It's a huge amount of money. It's expensive to raise fish, but it's just where you have to do it is exceedingly expensive. That's what broke the camel's back.
Prime real estate.
Yep, that's really what broke the camel's back. If there was, even up on the Peace River, the property's all taken. If you could find somewhere off the Peace where you could draw water out of there, but now because of the lionfish issue, you're not allowed to take water from the harbor, put it into tanks, and put it back into the harbor. Because that's how we got lionfish, from the aquariums and the hotels, pumping the water out and letting it dump back in. We got lionfish eggs came through the pipes, hatched in the water, and now we're major invasive species. So a lot of the regulations, some for good reason, some for money, they can't do the exchange thing or the hatchery thing anymore.
That sucks.
That's part of, growing up in an uncivilized society. And with lots of attorneys. So, and just so you know, I really do like attorneys. I'm all in favor of attorneys. I love them. I like them. You're my buddies and my pals. Yeah. Don't sue me, for God's sakes. So, anyway, I don't know where we're going with this. But anyway, this is our 250th broadcast, and, yay! And Robert and I did the 200th broadcast, 50 broadcasts later. We're still doing this, and for why, nobody knows, but we are still doing it, and hopefully you guys are enjoying it. Anything you want to wrap up with, Captain?
If you're going to be going out early in the morning, I'd probably suggest you start on the west side. Reason why is because the sun rises in the east. The mangroves on the east side are going to be blocking the water a lot over there. So it's going to take a little bit more to warm up over on the east side than it will the west side. The sun's going to warm up the west side a lot faster. So if you can, I'd start out on the west side early in the morning. And then if you wanted to later on in the day, you could migrate over to the east side when the sun's up more. That
Good
might
thought.
Help you guys out fishing a little bit right there.
Good thought. We still have a lot of people wondering where the trout are. Any good explanations on the trout?
Right now, Turtle Bay, if you float behind that big oyster bay that's usually out of water, it's usually right there. I think it's Norton Shack.
Yeah, the pipe sandbar out
There's
there.
There's been some good trout right there in the middle, and that grass flat's out there. There's been some really good trout there. Right in front of Turtle Bay, too. Just on the outside of the sandbar up to Cape Hayes Point, there's been some good trout. You're going to want to hit them early before the wind starts picking up and pushes those fish away from those type of areas.
Right. It gets too windy, they tend to go to more sheltered spots because that shallow water gets real rough in the wind.
Oh, yeah.
And back there, if you go into Turtle Bay, you're going to see the big manatee zone signs. The area he's talking about, when you go in through the main entrance of Turtle Bay, you're going to see a big two-posted manatee sign. When you get up that, look north and a little bit west, and you'll see a sandbar sticking out of the island. It's the area from where you are to that sandbar, that's where Carl's talking about. It's very easy to find. It's not, you get there and you go, oh, there it is. You got about a quarter mile wide width of water there that averages about 3 foot.
Mm-hmm. You could use the wind, if you don't have a trolling motor, you could use the wind to your advantage. You could get on the up part of the wind and use the wind to float you back down. If you're floating too fast, they do make wind socks, drift socks.
Did we get those in, Robert?
No, they have not come in yet.
Okay, don't talk about the wind socks. Oh. We don't have them yet.
Okay.
I'm just busting your chops. Called
5 gallon bucket.
Yeah,
a 5 gallon bucket works in a pinch.
Yeah, 5 gallon bucket with a rope on it tied to your cleat. That'll slow you down.
Yep.
We're still waiting to get a good price on them. I can get drift socks. They're called drift socks. It's like a parachute you put in the water to slow your boat down while the wind's pushing it. But right now the ones we've seen are like $100. It's way too much money. And we're looking for the ones you can get for $25, $30, $50. And I did find them and I did order them. We're just waiting for them to come in.
And they work. They're good.
So, Robert, any good advice for anybody going out tomorrow?
Honestly, if I was going to go look for bigger trout, I'd still be fishing the Boquilla area, just Jacob Creek Shoals over towards East Tampa.
All right.
The water's been nice and clean over there. And there's been such a variety of fish, but the trout are far and few between, but they're definitely much better quality.
Okay.
Tomorrow's going to be pretty warm, too, so the fish should be pretty good biting.
Yeah, it should be. Should
I think
be
as
good
the day progresses,
tomorrow.
It'll get better and better.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, anything else, guys?
Nope.
Well, I'm glad to be here and part of the 250th show. Yep. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I was looking at the numbers. I went, wait a minute, I got to call Robert. This is 250. And so, because you and I did the 200th, we did the 100th and all that kind of stuff. So, just figured we'd catch some of the milestone ones. Anyway, this is Fish and Frank. Robert's on the phone with us, and Captain Carl's in the chair across from me. And
this is the 250th broadcast of Radio Fishing. Yay! And the crowd goes crazy. Ah! I love it!
Okay. Anyway, we got that over with. And we're going to let Bobby take us out of the 250th. Thank you, Carl. Thank you, Robert. I appreciate it very much.
Thank you, sir.
Grab my gear to get some fishing done. Jump in my pickup, give her a crank. I got to talk with Fishin' Frank. Fishin' Frank is the guy who'll know where the redfish and the tarpon go. From your boat or from the bank, the man to see is Fishin' Frank. He's got the tackle and the know-how too, and more than willing to share with you. The guys with the most fish in their tanks have surely been to Fishin' Frank's. You gotta go to Fishin' Frank's. The one who knows is Fishin' Frank's.